Welcome to the PA Podcast. This is Brian Tag Sontag with a interview with comedian Dion Vincent. Oh, we talk about life and comedy. It was fun. White guy, black guy. How cool was that? Yeah. Life is simple. Make it so. Enjoy.
What's up, brother?
Dion!
How you feel?
Hey, doing my brother?
good deal.
Hey, okay, I want to get this out of the way, okay?
Okay.
Let me start by saying I'm a tall white dude who's an atheist with a German last name.
Okay.
I love fried chicken and watermelon, and I don't want to kill you.
What do you mean you're German? No.
what say you?
Well, I'm a medium tall black guy. I'm an agnostic atheist. I'm assuming you understand the distinction.
Yeah.
I'm okay with fried chicken. I'm okay with watermelon, and I don't want to kill you either. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I'm vegan. I've been vegan for the last, 2-3 weeks.
Oh, well, that's cool. That's cool. And I don't want to kill you for that either.
Okay, man.
Oh, so how you doing, buddy? Hey, Dan.
I'm doing great, man. Just out here in Cali, enjoying the weather, drinking a little Starbucks. That's product placement, right? Isn't this sponsored by Starbucks? New Pikes Peak. Only for the medium tall black people. No, maybe not that. Maybe. It's what everybody said. All coffee matters.
Oh, yeah. I love it. So, dude, what prompted you to go into comedy? Were you always funny as a kid, or?
Well, everybody. It's a lot of reasons, brother. Everybody had said I had missed my calling. I was a manager at this annuities firm, and everybody always said missed my calling. And I guess I always knew that I was an entertainer. Always, you know. I always knew that, you know, class clown, all that good stuff, and I get attention everywhere I go and all that. So I just decided to pursue that. I've changed my whole life by pursuing that, you know, moved to L.A., of course, and became a comedy. I became a comedy and an actor. Yeah, I'm a comedy. Yeah,
you're a comedy.
Yeah, that's me. I'm a comedy. Yeah, that's gonna be on my next album. I'm a comedy. Yeah,
I'm not a comedian. I'm a comedy.
Yeah, I'm not a comedian. I'm a comedy. Come on now, people. I'm also great at grammar and those good things. So I guess that's how it started. I started in Dallas. Then, like I said, moved to L.A. and
You started in Dallas.
Yeah. Some great guys. Sean Halperin, Paul Varghese, Jason James. All great guys. Started with those guys.
Well, cool. Cool. Very good. I lived in... I've been to Dallas, but I lived in El Paso, Texas for
I've been there. I've been chased out of there.
It wasn't me. It wasn't me. Yeah.
No, yes, it was. It was a tall German atheist. Yeah, exactly what it was. And let me remind you, it was a tall German white. I mean, a tall white German, right? Not a black German. I'm quite sure there's a couple, right? There's got to be. I was on Craig Kilborn, the late show Craig Kilborn.
Cool, yeah.
And, you know, the way I got on the show was they said, it's a clip on YouTube, too, by the way. Maybe you put in your show notes. No. Anyways, so he always, you know, he's from Scotland, right? So he right before the show starts, he asks, is anybody from Scotland, you know, so he can say hi and blah, blah, blah. And I said, yeah, I'm from Scotland, you know. And, of course, everybody laughs. I don't know why. And it's a pretty funny skit. It's a pretty funny skit. Like I said, it's on YouTube or it's on my channel, too. So maybe you can check it out. Tell me what you think. It's pretty hilarious. I loved it. It was a great experience.
Oh, yeah. And Craig's, I love Craig, too. And he's,
yeah, I like the new guy now, too, though. Man, I can't remember his name. Jim Bowden or Jim something like that. I can't believe I can't remember his name. James Brandon. James Corden. That's it. James Corden.
James Corden. Okay. 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 But yeah.
Well,
we got
that out of the way. We had to get the name right, right?
Yeah. You had fun though, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I love it. I love it. I love all aspects of entertaining people. Whether live or taped or anything like that. Yeah, I love it, man. You know, it's an expression. Yeah, I love to express myself creatively. Creatively. Man, I just cannot talk today. I'm creatively and I'm comedy. I'm all those things.
You're all over the place,
man.
Dude.
I guess. You know, what do they put in this Starbucks?
Oh, man. Yeah, it's just... Is just back away from the latte. That's all I can say. Back away from the latte.
Away from the latte. Oh, you a rapper now, huh? Okay. Yeah, you're a rapper. Okay, dude, right.
I'd be cool like that. I'd be cool.
Well, I knew you'd be cool like that because you're an atheist, and I've never met an uncool atheist.
Well, it's... The thing is, they tend to think, you know.
They tend to think.
Yeah, and thinking is, thinking kind of helps in life.
Yes, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I don't try and convert anybody to atheism or anything, but I just share certain things that, you know, it has to be obvious. That these religions are made up. That I used to be very religious, by the way. I used to be extremely. People would straighten up when I came into the room.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how. And obviously, for them to straighten up when I came into the room, show how sincere and serious I was. I wasn't just one of those Christians in name only. I was the real deal, as they say. And I just started asking myself questions. I started doing the study on comparative religions. I was a lay scholar. So all those things just added up to atheism.
Yeah.
And like I said, agnostic atheism. And for me.
Yeah. That's all right. Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah, that means.
Means your question.
Yeah, well, to me, agnostic atheism means to me is that God can neither be proven nor disproven. That's why I say agnostic. Now, the atheism part comes in, which, as you obviously know, and a lot of your fans may know, but a lot may not know, that atheism is not saying there is no God. That's just somebody's opinion. But an atheist says there's no evidence, or should we say credible evidence, for the existence of God. That's all it is, just saying there's no evidence. Not saying there isn't, just saying there's no evidence. And so that's why I make the distinction to you say something, you have to come from a place of honesty, and maybe to somebody, honesty may say that there is no God, but that's, like I said, that's, you may honestly feel that, but unless you can prove it, then it is just an opinion. So, comparative religions and
right,
all those things, and just find out that there can't be. And let me say it this way: there can't be a God of these books, these religions that we all, that 99% of the world ascribes to. There's no evidence for the God of all these different religions.
Right.
Now, is there
right.
God? Yeah. I wish God would just come say, hey, you know, this is it. This is it. This is the truth. This is really me, or blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying? Why does it have to be this hide and seek thing to something?
Right, right.
It's pretty important when you really think about it. It's pretty important if there is a God or not. It is a pretty big.
I still get that reference.
I love that, man. It's one of the greatest shows of all time, man.
Pretty good.
I love him, man. And of course, a Seinfeld too.
Yeah, he's but, it's just classic. It's classic comedy.
It is. I think 20 years from now, they'll still be just bust out laughing at Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, yeah. I watched it every week. I mean, it was like,
oh, yeah?
Oh, pretty. Yeah. I was all over that, dude. I was all over
it. You're all over it?
Yeah.
You're all over it like chicken and watermelon?
Yeah. It was just so fun. So.
He is. I wish I could have known him. You know, I don't have any close friends that are, big time famous or anything yet. And maybe I'll be the first out of all of our groups. But I do have this aspect where I don't want to meet people after they get too famous. Like, I can say certain people that I always wanted to meet, what's her name? Amy Schumer. I always wanted to meet her. You know what I mean? But now I don't want to meet her because she's too big now. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so I don't want to meet somebody after they're famous. I want to meet them before they're famous, you know, so I can catch them to their culture and become famous by association. Yeah, that's all I want. I don't want their friendship. I just want their fame. You know, I'm a vampire. I'm a fame vampire. So, but actually, I really don't, man. I don't want to meet somebody.
You're a vampire.
Yeah, I'm a vampire. Yeah. That's going to be the title of my album, Vampire.
So why are you talking to me? Because I'm not famous. I'm not famous.
Yeah, you're just that you're that low level blood that I crave. You know that blood that just sustains you, but doesn't excite you. That's you. That's you. You're the low-level blood. That's you.
My thing is I just love when people laugh. You know, I just...
Yeah, I hear that,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, it's just, they laugh, they smile. And I know, you know, when you post on Facebook and things, it's, you're not, you know... Probably 10% of the people that laughed at your joke clicked like, and the other 90% just laughed,
Yeah, I've talked to several people that said the same thing. You're absolutely right. I might get 100 or 200 likes, but yeah, only 10% actually, yeah.
Yeah, they actually take the time to click, you know.
Yeah, I wonder why they did. And then do we do that ourselves?
Oh yeah, I do.
Yeah,
I try to give props to people. You know, if somebody says something funny, I'm going, You know, that was great. I love that. Thank you.
You know, right.
You know, I'll write a little thing, and sometimes I'll even reply and just say, oh, that made me laugh. Thank you. I love that.
Yeah.
You know. And
yeah, I don't know. It depends. If I'm in a good mood, I will just laugh without liking it. If I'm in a great mood, I'm going to laugh, like, and comment.
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess it all just depends on, and also, you know, let's be real, how much time have I got, you know, because I don't know about you, I have certain rules that I'm trying to live by, and a new rule that I'm living by is that I don't get on my phone when I'm in line for something. You know, that's the way we all hide from each other and put up barriers from each other and ignore each other, whereas, you know, before all this Facebook and all that, we would actually talk to each other.
Right, right.
So
right.
That's one of my rules is if I'm in line, I won't bring out my phone no matter what. The only time I bring out my phone is when I'm, you know, sitting down or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But when I'm in line, I'm not going to, I don't care what it is, even if it's business or anything. So I don't want to do that. So
right.
That's the case. It depends on how much time I got, you know, so.
Right.
Yeah. You
yeah.
Know,
I do the same thing, my friend. I just, I when I go out and go to, a restaurant or whatever, it's just, I just look at the person and say, hey, doing a good job, you know, the dude, you know, you know, not I.
Yeah, how much do I owe you?
I actually have said, can I talk to the cook or to the chef? And they said, well, sure. And I go back here and I said, Dan, that was great. Thank you. You did a great job. You know, and just talk to people. Just say, atta boy, you know, atta girl, you know. This.
I know. I do that, too. I go to the chef, say, well, I don't have any money. Can I wash dishes for my meal? Yeah, I do that, too. I love it.
Yeah, and it's just if everybody did that now easy would be
right.
It's so simple. It's just
yeah, you're absolutely right, bro. We could just change the world in a little ways with just little things like that.
Yeah, and
know?
One of my posts was that there's probably 5% of the people that want to scare you, and 95% of the people that care.
I guess the trick is finding out who is who, right?
Right. Because it's like, oh, we want you to be against them. No, we want you to be against them. We want you to be against them. It's like, no.
It is.
No,
it is.
No,
it is.
We,
it is.
Yeah. And it's like, no, we love each other. Just we're humans on a planet. Just
yeah, that's chill, all it is, brother.
Chill it out. Chill it out.
Yeah, that's all it is. You know, I don't want to sound the wrong way, but, you know, I've had a realization that maybe a lot of people haven't had, and this is the realization. Dang, if I could just talk right today, this is it. Is that, you know what? I'm going to die.
Right. We're all going to.
I was waiting on you to say something to that effect. But no, what I really mean is I'm going to die. We all know that, but we all do not live our lives as if that's true. We all don't actually believe that. We believe that someday something is going to happen, but actually die? No, we're not going to actually die.
Right.
We don't really believe that.
Well, I think, you know, and it goes, gets kind of out there, but, you know, I think everybody's a spirit and energy from the universe, and, you know, that gets totally deep there. But anyhow, you know, the body is holding that energy, And but when you're gone, that energy goes back out to the universe, and I couldn't agree more.
I agree 100% with your statement. I think that when we die, we just go back to pure energy. That's exactly what I think. But what I was meaning by that is that, you know what, we're all going to die, and in 100 years, no one is going to care anything about what we care about. It's not going to even matter. So why should we live in such fear and such anger toward each other when all these things that you are thinking are so important in 100 years, and I'm just giving the real small number, you know, 100 years, it could be even 10 years after you're dead. The point being is that, you know, none of this is really going to matter, so why not have fun, live your life, take chances, take risks, do whatever you want to do. Let others do whatever they want to do.
Right, right. Exactly.
You know, as long as you're not hurting anyone, as long as you're not hurting anyone, well, you can hurt yourself. I'm kind of a libertarian in that way. I believe you have the right to hurt yourself, but I'm talking about if you're consciously want to hurt yourself. In other words, by smoking or, you know, eating or something. You know, you have that, you should have that right. And I'm not talking about mental illness or anything like that.
Right.
You know, I mean, we're all going to die. If we just all came to that realization, then, you know, we would love each other more. We would love each other more because we realize how temporary all this stuff is. And all these divisions are just temporary, too.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We're just... you know, we're here, you know, and I've said it many times on post, you know, we're on a, you know, I said, realize this, we're on a ball of dirt rotating in space around a star that's on fire. What is your fucking problem? You know, it's like, chill out. Just enjoy.
Enjoy
your time here. It was given to you, and just chill with it and be fun and have laughs and enjoy food and you know, things like that. It's
masturbate in public. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to do. Sweet. Yeah. I'm masturbating right now.
That's too much information right now.
Well, you ought to see it live. I mean, the people in Starbucks are all staring at me. I don't get it, but they're all staring at me.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Well, jeez. You know,
can a guy whack off? You know, I'm bringing joy to the world, starting with my world. That's all I'm doing, brother. I'm bringing joy to the world. I'm the joy master.
Joy master.
Yeah.
I'm the joy master.
Sounds like a TV show, huh? Right? The joy master.
The joy master.
We ought to do an info. We ought to do an infomercial about the joy master.
that would be funny.
Yeah. You heard it here first, sports fans.
Oh, jeez. Oh, so you know, how many places when you do your comedy? What are your most your places you most enjoy doing? You know.
That's easy. Anywhere.
Anywhere.
I mean, let's be real. I've heard a lot of big name people don't do colleges because everybody's so PC, and I see that. I can appreciate that, but I have to admit, there's a balance you have to do with this PC thing in colleges. I thought colleges were the place where you test out thoughts, test out ideas, you know, test out points of view. you know, in the safe haven.
That's what it was supposed to be, yeah.
Yeah, but now it's not. Now it's all about the thought police up there, and you have to toe the line. You can't say anything whatsoever against anybody or any group, even in a good-natured way, or anything that goes against the social narrative of the day. So I can appreciate, like Chris Rock, people like that, saying they're not doing, and Jerry Seinfeld, saying they're not doing colleges anymore. I see the point, especially when it comes to those guys. You know, I can understand, now, there is a difference between racial humor and racist humor.
Right.
You know, and I can understand those guys would definitely just have racial humor, you know, or something to that effect.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's what psychologists were for, you know, where you can express different points of view and can have those views challenged, of course. And that's another thing. You can't even challenge views anymore. I guess I should say both instances are wrong. You're wrong if you challenge views, and you're wrong if your views are challenged. It's kind of weird. It goes back to the freedom of speech or freedom of expression or freedom of exploring. Yeah, maybe I shouldn't say freedom. Of exploring different aspects of culture and society and and all those good things. Yeah, you know.
They want to put people in a box, and it's
exactly
like,
it's exactly that, brother. They want to put people in a box.
Yeah,
and then they put it under the guise of freedom.
Right, exactly. I had made a joke about that. I said, okay, guys, please cut the packing tape. I want to think outside the box. This is not funny anymore. This is not funny. Let me think outside the box.
Yeah, I don't like this experiment.
Cut that packing tape.
I thought this was going to be fun.
Exactly. Oh, geez. You're a funny guy, and you're very insightful, too. So,
thanks, brother. Well, it takes one to know one, man.
Yeah, and that's what I appreciate about you. And a white guy.
Still German?
I'm still German, a white guy talking to a short black guy.
Not short.
Well,
medium.
Medium black guy. Okay.
Yeah, medium. Yeah, medium black. Yeah, I'm not dark skinned, and I'm not. Well, I guess I am light skinned. I don't know. I'm. Well, no. Okay, I'll go with medium. I'll take medium black. I'll take that. Yeah. Yeah, I'm medium black. I'm tan. I'm mocha colored. Or
you medium well? No.
Yeah, medium well. All those good things. Yeah. I'm pretty light. But
oh, and people, there's some people that would listen to that and go, how can they be saying that stuff? It's like, get over it. It's just, we're people.
I know, it's just jokes. Yeah, we're just human.
We're just joking and just having fun and just, we're just being cool peeps. Stop it. What,
don't take it so serious. I mean, it is just jokes.
Right.
Now, I can appreciate when a joke crosses the line. I can appreciate that. And that line is different for everybody. However, I think the problem lies in when somebody crosses that line, what do we do with them? Without realizing that line that we cross is just our own personal belief of where the line is.
Yeah.
I mean, I think very few things where there is an actual line where everybody can agree that's where the line is and where the line should be, you know.
Yeah,
but 99% of the time, the line is just subjective, you know.
Yeah.
Very few lines are objective, in other words.
Right.
So,
exactly.
I can appreciate that when they say, man, you guys doing it. But, hey, man, as long as we're not hurting anybody and we're not crossing that that line that is just really the real line, you know, the crazy, you know, the Hitler line. That's it. As long as we're not crossing the Hitler line, because no matter what, you can 99.99.99% of the people are saying, yeah, that's a line. That is a line not to be crossed. Now, obviously, he still, right today, has his supporters, which is mind-boggling. But, yeah, he has his supporters right today. So, yeah, so even such a crazy line as the Hitler line, there are going to be some people that say, no, that's not the line. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. So we just got to learn to get along and learn to maybe keep an open mind about certain things. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, who am I? Am I the great philosopher? Or am I just some comedian, writer, actor, and all those things? I think I'm just a comedian, actor, writer. I don't think I'm the great philosopher.
I think
worship me. Don't worship me.
Yeah.
Well, worship me, but still. Yeah. Just give me all your money. How about that? That's what it seems everybody that, you know, that gets you to worship somebody, that's what it all comes down to. Give me your money.
Give me your money.
Yeah, so just do that. Let's just cut out the middle, man. Just give me your money without the worship. Because, you know, they usually kill the people they worship, right?
Oh, they, yeah, they...
just give me the money. Forget about that other stuff.
They have a tendency to kill the good people.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, in our world, it's like, hey, I want peace in this and that. Okay. Hey,
right.
Hey.
What? You want peace and love and brotherhood? What?
Boom.
You upsetting the apple cart with that.
And
peace, love, and brotherhood? Oh, yeah.
And I want my
gun.
I want my gun so I can blow you away when you say that.
Right. Right.
No, it's madness, my friend. You're so on track with me.
Yeah, and we're the crazy ones, right?
Yeah. Oh no, we're the freaking smart ones.
That may be true. That may be true.
Yeah, I think we're met. You know, in our own little way, I think we're messengers to an extent. You know, I think there's more messengers than people realize, and I try to express my thoughts and things, and it's messages going out. You know, it's just
That's a good point, man. It's a great point.
Yeah, it's thoughts and messages, and not everybody's gonna agree, and some of them their parents taught them to hate. I don't know, and there's a lot of that still going on, but I think it's gonna change. I think it's gonna evolve. But
that's interesting. Yeah, that's interesting, brother. I don't know. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I know. It's just really great. So, but how long you been doing? You've been doing stand up for how long now?
About 8 years now. Yeah,
8 years.
I've been acting for the last 3 years.
Wow.
And I have to admit, there's an aspect of acting that I really like.
What's that?
Is that you can. You can express so many different things, whereas with comedy, you know, you better express a damn comedy. I mean, you can make people think, and you can move people,
uh-huh.
but you better come with the funny. I don't give a damn how
succinct
your point is or revolutionary your point is. If they're not laughing, then you're not doing your job.
Exactly.
But in acting, you don't have to have that one aspect of must laugh. You know, you can express so many different things.
Yeah.
And, you know, why do people park so close to each other? I'm looking, somebody's parked next to my car and they just got out. And I'm saying, man, why do people park so damn close? I mean,
he's acting. He's acting.
I guess, but I mean, just
no.
Okay. Now, what if there's a heavier person, a big person, You know, it's and they're on the passenger side. They're driving with, riding with me. So that means I have to get in my car, pull all the way out of my parking space, and then let the person that's with me in. You know, but the person that just parked so close to me isn't even thinking about that. It was even hard for her to get through the two between her car and my car.
Oh,
I mean, that should, she was a slim girl. That should tell you something. If you're slim and you still have a problem getting in between two cars, maybe you just parked too close to the other car. Maybe.
You think?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. So. Yeah, I don't know, brother.
Oh, man.
I guess we all got those little pet peeves. I got to put that in my act, man. I got to put that in my act. Cause,
there you go.
Yeah, I forgot who said it. I want to say it was, maybe it was Colin. I don't know. Somebody said that if you think about it more than three times, to put it in your act, or in other words, explore it. If you think about something more than three times.
Yeah.
We all have those thoughts that, you know, just come and go. But if something is, you know, in your consciousness more than three times, then it's obviously something you can explore.
Right. Exactly.
So, yeah, maybe I need to put that in my head because that does get on my nerves. I hate when people park too close to me.
Right. Yeah, write that, dude. Write that, dude. Yeah.
I know. You know what? See, I'm trying to heal the world.
Hey.
I'm trying to heal the world, man, but I have to start with parking.
There you go.
We'll cure racism and money in politics and corruption and buying candidates and all those things. But first, let's just start with parking. You know, let's start at the top and work our way down, right?
There you go. I like that already, see?
Yeah. We'll get to the little stuff.
Yeah,
we'll get to the genocide that's going on right today as we speak.
Yeah.
We'll get to those after we get tend to tackle the parking problems
of
the 21st century.
Oh, fine tune that. That's a funny bit, dude. That's a funny. I spend I'm more of a comedy writer than I am a stand up or anything. But I just love the play on words and situations.
Yeah, I hear that, man. I hear that. I love it when it's clever. I love it when it's clever.
Yeah.
I don't really like the what I call the Def Jam comedy. A lot of the youngsters won't understand what that means until they go back into the 90s and listen to some of that. You know, I mean, obviously there were some greats, but basically the hack premises, white people do this, black people do that, you know, all that kind of.
Right.
Yeah, I love it when it's clever. I love it when it's clever.
Clever and smart. I love smart. I'm a huge George Carlin fan. I mean, I've watched.
Yeah.
I watched him from day one, and it's just, you know.
He was so brilliant, wasn't he?
Yeah, it was like, I was sitting there, and I freaking laughed, and I'm going, oh, and he made a fucking point. It's like,
right. I mean, he was, you know, way, 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 way ahead of his time. I mean, the jokes he did back in the 70s, people are still scared to do today.
Exactly.
You know, he was just brilliant. And interesting enough, let me say a couple things real quick. Interesting enough, the list of all time greats comes down to usually three people. Oh gosh, I can't remember his name. Okay, the first is always Richard Pryor.
Okay? Oh yeah, love.
And the second The second is either George Carlin or the guy that had the Supreme Court ruling that made it okay for us to cuss. Oh, I'm sorry. It's,
hey,
it's
I can't think either.
Yeah, but it's a guy. Once I say his name, it's, oh, yeah, yeah. Well, anyway, number two is interchangeable. It's either George Carlin or, oh, man, it was just on the tip of my tongue. Oh, he died in the 70s, a drug overdose or something. Oh, anyway, but Carlin is usually number two. So that tells you, and really, and even I've even seen a few lists where Carlin is number one and Richard Pryor is number two. But the majority of the list is Richard Pryor's number one, and Carlin and the other guy are interchangeable with number two. I can't believe I can't remember his name. But yeah, George was just so amazing. He has so much work, too. Have you ever studied him a little bit?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm interviewing you now.
Well,
did you notice?
Yeah. What's going on now? The tables have turned.
Yeah. Okay. Well, did you know that he, one of his methods of writing was he would write everything down, and he had everything categorized, and he had everything on cards, and he also had jokes that weren't finished that he would put with something he just made, something from 5 years ago, he would put with something he just made today to finish the joke to make it a great joke.
Mm.
You know, and I find very few comedians do that. We always write, and either we finish the joke as soon as we write it, or we don't finish the joke and never use it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
But he
finished everything.
Yeah.
He used everything.
Yeah, and what I'm doing now when I write my jokes that I post and stuff, I'll put them in a text file.
Mm-hmm.
And just I notate that I've already posted it, but you know they're there. And I go back, and then also I'll listen to other people's comments or things and stuff. I'm going, you just gave me a great idea.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Beautiful.
You just gave me a great idea for a joke. And I give him props. I'm saying, that was funny. Now I got a joke from that. Thank you so much.
I know, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's what it's supposed to be, you know. Is this
growth with it?
Get propped out. Yeah.
And let me say another thing that I wanted to say. Is that also when you said that you are more of a comedy writer more than a stand up? Is that I find in my experience that everybody starts out stand up and then they find out that, number one, they're either a writer or they're either a performer. And most people find out that they're not a performer, that they're a writer. But
mm-hmm.
you do have some people that find out that they are not a writer, but a performer.
Yeah.
And obviously there has to be some, but I can't think of anything right now.
I can't think of
any people that are both.
Right, but when he can do both, it's magic, you know.
Well, see what I mean by that, to clarify for you comedy fans,
mm-hmm.
is a lot of people can only write jokes for themselves. Now, when you can write jokes for others and perform for yourself at that same level, then that's when I think you're both. Like, to me, Louis C.K. is both.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah,
yeah, somebody like that is bold.
Yeah. I love.
But most people, because we all start out with stand up, and some of us start out with writing, and then they do stand up just to get a feel for what the comedian is going through, and then they discover that they're not a writer per se; they're more of a comedian. In other words, performer instead of just writer.
Mm-hmm.
But I said majority of people, they find out that they're not comedians; that they're writers. You know, in my experience, it's just my limited, I'm a messenger. Like you said, I'm a messenger.
You're a messenger out there. Yeah.
So obviously I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. It just sounds ridiculous. No. But it does seem true for me. It does seem true. A lot of people find out that they're not, in fact, stand-ups, but they're, in fact, writers, which is nothing wrong. You'd be surprised what writers make. A lot of times more than the stars of the show, of whatever show that we're talking about. Writers are golden tickets, golden tickets. If you get a writing job, hey, that's a golden ticket. Maybe I ought to pursue a writing job, but that's a golden ticket, brother. It's a golden ticket.
Yeah, if you can be a good writer and, because the performers need lines, you know, in shows, sitcoms, whatever, but, you know, you've got to, you know, and I'll watch shows and I'm going, I could have wrote something funnier than that. I'll see some sitcoms and going, really? That was your joke? Really? Come on.
I hear that. And you know what I think about that is that, by the way, I agree with you, but there's also part of me that realizes that there's different segments of comedy. In other words, what me and you think is great comedy, there's somebody that's, oh, that's nothing. That's okay. But this watered down sophomore comedy, I love that. You know what I mean?
Right. You got different audiences that will just.
Because
I'll notice that on some of my, joke posts, it's like, you know, it's like, oh, I get tons of likes on this one. I was like, this other one, I'm going, didn't you fucking get it? Didn't you get it?
I know, right? Yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, you, wait, yeah. But you got this one. Oh, yeah.
And
I'm kind of studying that, trying to figure out, here's what people like.
I know. Well, that's the thing about stand-up, man. We are at the audience's mercy. In other words, every comedian, and I've even seen this in one of these specials, I want to say Jerry Seinfeld, but I've always seen this in every single comedian I've ever known and talked to, is that we all have jokes that we love that the audience doesn't like, and we have jokes that we hate that the audience loves.
Right, exactly.
It's just so infuriating. You said, man, you don't get this beautiful, brilliant joke I just delivered, but you like this tacky, easily thought up a joke that I just delivered. You love that?
Exactly.
Can't believe it. Yeah, you love this. Something that you yourself could have thought of. You know.
You don't want to think past your capacity.
But you know, like I said, we have to go with what the audience wants. You know, that's ultimately who we're working for.
Right.
I can't stand. And I think we all do it to a little bit, I would think. But I hate when, who the fuck am I to, oh, can I cuss?
Sure.
Or do you have to bleep? Okay.
Oh.
I was about to say, who the fuck am I to say what somebody sure shouldn't have in their act? But I do want to say this. I hate when a comedian has a joke in their act that we all know that they put in that just because they like it. They never get a good response from the audience, but they just keep it in there. I want to say, man, you are wasting the audience's time. Why not just get a better joke that the audience likes in the place of that joke that only you like?
Right.
You know, it just gets on my nerves. But like I said, who am I? Who am I? Shit. I said, we all must do it. I can think of jokes that will just look warm that I do because I love them. Yeah, so I guess I'm guilty. I'm just a hypocrite, that's all. I'm just a hypocrite. What the hell? I'm just a hypocrite, yeah, shit. But you tell me one person in the world who isn't a hypocrite, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Tell me one in some aspect.
Right.
And, you know, I find it interesting that that's a word that people hate, especially religious people. But not just religious people, all people hate that word.
Yeah.
Everybody hates to be considered a hypocrite. When we all hypocrites in some aspect or some area of our lives. Yeah, we are
some
all
manner.
Hypocrites.
Yeah, some manner.
Yeah, in some manner. But everybody seems to hate that word. I've always wondered why. I can understand why the religious person would hate that word. But why do the – oh, maybe that's just part of the human condition. I don't know.
Yeah.
But why
does
somebody that's not even religious hates that word?
Right.
I don't know. Maybe it speaks to something about our identity or self-concept as, you know, trustworthy or something to that effect.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why we all hate it. But I can understand like a religious person hating that word, you know, because they think somebody's watching, you know. Somebody's watching, they're keeping tally of all the wrongs and all the hypocriticisms. Hypocriticism.
Yeah.
Oh, what is that word? I need to look that up. Is that a word, hypocriticisms? That's going to be the title of my album.
You're going to make me Google that?
Yeah, that's going to be the title. Hypocriticisms.
Google it.
Am I being critical of hippos? What? I don't know.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Yeah.
Build on that one.
Yep. Yeah, build on that. That's hilarious. That is hilarious.
I think that will appeal to the low-level comedy fan.
Yeah, the lowest common denominator of audiences. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Talk about bash on hippos, you know.
Yeah, you know, what's the deal with hippos?
What's the deal?
They're in the water, but they're out of the water.
What's the deal with hippos?
Man,
you know what's with that? What's with the jaw movement? How big a head can you have? I mean, come on.
I know that's going to be the title of my album, Hypocriticisms. Yeah.
Cool.
That's going to be the title of my album.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Or maybe I'm going to have a 2-CD album set thing, you know, like the musicians are. We're going to have a 2-CD, and one side is going to be Hypocriticisms, and I forgot what the other one was. The other one I said was going to be my album cover. I mean, title. It'll come to me. Or maybe that'll be the second title. I forgot the first title. Yeah, that could be. Hey, see, I can sound clever and smart. I forgot the title of the second side. Yeah.
I can be clever and smart and hate hippos.
I'm brilliant. Yeah, I'm brilliant. Yeah.
I'm smarter than a hippo.
Oh, yeah, I'm smarter than a hippo, and that is not a criticism. maybe it is. But also, hey, have you checked out Doug Stanhope? There's nothing wrong with that. You, like I said, I'm interviewing you. Have you checked out Doug Stanhope?
Oh yeah, I love Doug.
Yeah,
I love Doug.
He's just amazing, brilliant guy.
But
he's too filthy to be, you know, mainstream.
Yeah, he's got his own little. His own little following and stuff, but he's doing what he wants to do, and he's living his truth. And
exactly, that's another thing I admire about him. Like I just said, he's too filthy to be mainstream, but that's not him. That's not him to be unfilthy to be mainstream. That's, you know, I don't really like that word sellout because that is. I don't like the term sellout, but if I had to use that term, that's what I would consider a sellout, somebody that stops being themselves just to gain success. But I don't like that word for a lot of reasons because,
yeah.
I mean, who's to say? And who's 100% themselves for success?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well,
who's
100%
themselves? So.
Well,
I don't know.
But if you... you know, if you be your, you know, just try to be yourself, and if people like it, it's like, hey, you made the world a better place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For some people, you know.
Yeah. Let me say it this way: sell out. You know, sell out is also defined by our perceptions, or more importantly, our position in life. Like when you're 20 years old and you have this song, it's a great song and it becomes a great big hit and you're a great star, you would never, ever in your, a million years think of selling it to Coke or Pepsi or somebody to make a jingle out of it for their little commercial, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you're 20. When you're 40 and your career has peaked and, you know, now you're just living off royalties from your old music, you damn well better believe you would love to get $1 million for the rights for Pepsi or somebody to use your song in a jingle, you know?
Yeah.
So maybe it's selling out, but if, when you're 40, you don't think of it selling out. You think of it as a smart business move.
Yeah, I know.
So that's why I don't like to use the term selling out.
Yeah. And to be honest, I don't begrudge those.
Exactly. I don't begrudge either.
I don't begrudge either.
Because, hey, we all have to live.
Those artists, and it's like, hey, you made something cool. We love listening to it again and again. If they want to buy it, you know, Godspeed to you.
Hey, you know, a song that illustrates this perfectly, or the situation that illustrates this perfectly, is Europe, The Final Countdown. Remember, you know, that was very cool, and, you know, they were great stars, but now it's in a coffee? No, it's some kind of thing where they're singing and the girl is in the break room. You know what I'm talking about? The Final Countdown.
Oh.
Yeah, what? I have to.
I don't know the commercial exactly.
I've seen a commercial everywhere. Yeah, and it's even has them. It even has, maybe it's Geico. Final Countdown. I think it is Geico. But anyway, they show the band actually performing the hook, Final Countdown, in the break room of some little office in the break room. You know, and I'm thinking that 20 years, when they were 20 years old, they made that song, you know, no way in hell they would sell that song to be a jingle or be in a commercial. Now, at 40 or even 50, whatever they are now, they are actually in the commercial, not just the song, but them themselves in the commercial.
Right. Yeah, no.
You know, so, yeah, I'm not begrudging anybody for that. Cause,
no.
Why I don't really like the word sellout, you know, for those kind of reasons.
Right, yeah. I mean, there's, exactly. I mean, it's, you know, it's your craft. You made money, you're not, you know, selling out, you're just selling your craft, you know. It's like,
But of course, you know, the beautiful thing is they guys are making some money, and they may even be getting some new fans out of it too.
Right, exactly.
You know,
so some people will go, wow, let me go check out what else they have, you know, and check.
Right.
Maybe I'll buy some of their tunes on. You know, I'll buy them on iTunes or Amazon or something.
Yeah. Or some of the old fans could get, you know, re-energized.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a win-win.
I've seen commercials like that, and I'm like, oh, I forgot about that song. That's so great.
Exactly,
Then I go to YouTube and look them up and going, yeah, I remember. Yeah, that's great.
So, I'm going to find a commercial, man. I'm going to find a commercial.
Yeah.
And I'll let you know about it later on. I'll find it. But it's hilarious. And that girl that's in it, man, she's in so many commercials. I wish I needed to find her name and find out. I bet you that she's easily probably made, over the years, she's probably easily made $1 million in commercials. That's a lot of things that that the general public isn't aware of, that commercials are extremely lucrative. Like that guy, can you hear me now?
Uh-huh.
You know, from what was that, Verizon?
Verizon, I think it was,
Anyway, that guy made, in 9 years, in doing that campaign, in 9 years, he made $7 million.
Oh, my God.
I know. Just off one commercial.
Now he's over on, is he on... He's doing a team
sprint or somebody. Yeah, in other words, he's doing the competition. Yeah.
Yeah, he's saying, hey, I used to be the Verizon guy, but I'm now on such and such, and now he's doing
competition.
Uh-huh. And I'm like,
mm-hmm.
Go for it, dude.
Yeah, well, now his contract must have ended because every contract has a clause where you can't advertise for any kind of competition.
Right.
So, yeah, it's time to contract must be over.
So he must have bottom that out to where he can do what he wants to do.
Yeah. I mean, of course,
you know.
I can understand. Yeah, the advertisers putting their clause in. Back to that standard, that's not even standard. It's beyond standard. I wouldn't want some guy that at the height of their advertising campaign to start, you know, when he's really, really popular, to start advertising for your competitors. I mean, that makes perfect sense from a business standpoint. And, you know, I'm talking to a few people. I'm working on a web series. I'm kind of slowed down on my comedy because I want to focus on writing this web series. And it's going to be about an Uber driver. That's why I got this business. I don't have much time, but I'm trying to drive more for Uber so I can, you know, get the feel of what it's really like and all those things.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I'm working on a web series about Uber and. Back to the point that we're talking about is, you know, I'm learning a little bit about business because now,
do you know us?
In my point, I'm sorry. Yeah. But in my point, what I'm about to say, of course, you know, very few things are 100%. Okay. And I think this is one of them, but this is my point is that when you get to a certain level of whatever it is you do, whatever it is you're embarking on, whatever it is, once you get at a certain level, nobody is really better than anybody else. Okay, like when you're at the top, or not even at the top, or when you're at whatever level you're on, and everybody else on your level, nobody is really better than anybody. It's just, you know, what they call the flavor of the month. In other words,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to give an illustration that people would obviously disagree with. But let's just take two people that are at the top of stand-up, Louis C.K. and Dave Chappelle. Okay, now, when you're at their level, in my reasoning, when you're at their level, neither one is actually better than the other. It's just that mm-hmm. some people prefer Dave Chappelle, some people prefer the comedy of Louis C.K. Now, obviously, people are going to disagree with me, but in a general sense, everyone, if they're honest, would admit that there's a truth there that once you're at a certain level, nobody's really better. Unless, you know, like taking Michael Jordan or somebody, even at his level, he was still clearly better than everyone else. So, and that's just one way of looking at it, even though it doesn't negate the truth of the point.
Right.
You know, there's exceptions. But what I'm still trying to get to is that, you know, I'm learning about business. And one thing I find out about success in stand-up comedy, or should I say in entertainment, I'm sorry, I took so long to get to this great big point, is that, you know, one thing that separates the successful from the failures is business. Because there's some comedians that are extremely hilarious that you'll never hear about. There's some actors that are extremely great that you'll never hear about. I remember one time I was doing comedy in New York, and I'll get back to my point.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember doing, and I did this open mic, you know, I don't know if the regular world knows this, but all comedians do open mics, even the big giant people. The big giant people, like the names I just said, you see these people at open mics, or they're coming in on a regular night to try out some new material, which is, for them, essentially, it's still an open mic.
Right.
So everybody does open mics. I don't care how big you are. I can't think of anybody, and it's impossible. But I can't think of anybody, no matter how big they
don't. Right, right. You got to work it out.
Yeah, anyway, to speak of business and marketing separating the failures and the successful, when you get to a certain level, they're all the same. but what separates them is business and marketing. Now, to get, illustrate this point, that's my point. But to illustrate it, remember, I was at the Comedy Cellar. Let me see, because I'm looking at the place in my mind, you know, and I'm walking around so I can remember which it was, because, you know, I don't know, I've been to so many comedy clubs that do kind of blend together. But, yeah, it was a comedy cellar. The Comedy Cellar in New York.
Okay.
And this guy, man, I mean, this guy just, he just killed it. And he killed it on a level that was just brilliant. I mean, the guy, oh, my God. It was just so hilarious. And he only had this one bit, his whole bit. And maybe if I say the bit, maybe somebody can say, oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about. But this guy, he was talking to his boss, and he was talking to his boss about quitting. He was talking to his boss about quitting the job or doing something to keep his job. I can't remember. It was basically something about his job. And he was just amazingly hilarious. I mean, is easily as good as anything I've heard by Louis C.K. or Dave Chappelle, to be the top two right now.
Ooh.
Oh, and Kevin Hart, top three.
Yeah.
They're all distinctly different. I like different aspects of all three. Anyway, he was like just hilarious. You know what? And let me just remind you of something to illustrate that point. Number one, I don't even remember what the guy's name is. Number two, I would venture to say nobody else knows who this guy is. So it all comes back to talented you are or how good you are, it still comes down to marketing and advertising. Marketing and business.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm learning while I'm doing this web series, is how important business is, how important marketing is. That's all it comes down to. When you get to a certain level, and especially with today's world, I don't know. I don't like Facebook or I don't like social media, because there's such a fine line between sharing good news and bragging.
Yeah.
It's kind of all blurred now. I don't know. Everything can, I guess, based on your point of view, everything can be either bragging or sharing the good news with me. I don't know. So that's why I don't really like social media, because that's all it really, 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 really comes down to, is sharing this good news with me or I'm bragging.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I don't like social media.
Or I'm asking for help.
Begging.
Yeah.
But that can also intertwine. You know, please give me support. Hey, I just got this new pilot. Please support it. You know. So yeah, I guess you can be all of that. Or please buy a ticket to the show.
It's like,
and you know, like when my web series, the pilot, is done, obviously I'm going to do exactly that. Hey, y'all, just completed a web series pilot. Please support it. So I can show NBC.
You hypocrite.
How much support is there?
Yeah. You hypocrite.
Exactly. God, you hit the nail on the head, brother. You hit the nail on the head.
But, you know, you kind of have to roll with what's going on, you know.
And you know, it also goes back to my 100-year point. In 100 years, nobody's going to care whether I was a hypocrite or not, including me, because I'll be dead. But nobody's going to care.
Exactly.
And if they do care, it won't matter, because I won't be here.
Exactly. And I always try to remind people. I said, I have fun on Facebook, posting jokes and interacting. I met some great people, like you.
Wow.
But I try to remind people, Facebook ain't gonna be here forever. trust me, it's there's something's gonna replace it. It's just
yeah. No, no.
Yeah.
No, I don't believe that, and I choose not to believe that. Where is the sand so I can stick my head in it? Please. I want to go back to MySpace. Yeah.
Yeah. I was gonna say everybody thought MySpace was like the, it was like sliced bread. It rocked for its time, and Facebook is rocking for now, and I don't know what the next book or space will be, but
that's a good question.
It's gonna change.
Well, it's some guy right now that's in elementary school, sixth grade. Right now, he's coming up with this new social platform right now.
Exactly.
And by the time he's 15, he's going to be a billionaire, and you know he's going to drop out of school, and
that's
then he's going to buy the school he dropped out of and burn it to the ground. You know.
Exactly.
As a testament to the value of education. Oh, I know people are going to hate me for that one. I'm just joking. I'm not putting down the value of education. But in a way, I am. I'm putting down the value of a cookie-cutter education.
Yeah.
I mean, we got to have the basics, obviously. But obviously, there's room for improvement, even in the basics.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
well,
but who am I again? Again, I say, who am I? Who am I, this great philosopher? Yes, I am.
Well,
yes, I am.
Yeah, you are. one of the things I'll tell people is, I only have a high school education, but it was back when they actually taught you something. I'll be 60 in August, and I mean, when I went to school, I got like straight A's in math and physics, and I took Latin classes and all that shit. And it's like,
is that a DJ?
What's that?
Is that a DJ? Physics? I've never heard of that. Is that DJ Physics or? Is that a dance group on America's Got Talent? What? I've never heard of physics. Yeah, what is that?
Oh.
Yeah, physics, what?
Don't be
the study of the physical laws of the known universe? No.
Yeah.
Who cares about all that?
Yeah.
Who cares about all that? Yeah, where's Justin Bieber at right at this very exact moment? That's what's important.
Right. Well, and we want to know what the Kardashians are up to.
Yeah, the Kardashians and all that. But you know what, man? Seriously, I don't like to make jokes with celebrities. You know why? Because it's too easy. I understand why people do it.
Yeah, that was easy. I know, that was easy.
Yeah, because, you know, that's part of the, that comes with the territory.
Part
of the territory. So I don't mind that. Like, when I'm a big celebrity, I don't know if they're going to make jokes about me. I don't mind. I can thick skin. I don't care. But the point is, I hate when people just all their whole shtick is making fun of celebrities, and it's really kind of hard to do, to where it's not so easy. You know, I can think of a few people that do it, but the vast majority of people, it's just too easy. You know, I mean, if you're gonna do something, do it well and do it great, and very few people can do that. So,
right.
And I don't like to. That's why I don't like to make fun of them.
Yeah, you can throw one or so in there, but it's just just have some smart humor in there. I love the smart.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Love the smart.
Couldn't agree more.
I love the jokes that where people go, oh, ha ha ha, I get it.
Yeah,
right,
exactly.
They also got,
exactly.
I said there's a little message in there.
And are we comedy snobs or what? I don't know.
I don't know, dude. But
maybe.
No, I think we're elitist.
Yeah, right. There it is.
We're elitist.
That's gonna be my title of my next album.
we're, we're elitist hypocrites.
Yes, we're elitist. No, now you got the title, My Next Comedy. One of these are actually going to be a title. One of these.
Oh,
and you know when I'm
when you put that out, just give me a little props there. That I don't need any. I don't want any money. I don't want any.
Yeah,
money.
You're lucky. You lucky. You getting the props or the money, anything. You are lucky if I even speak to you. Who? What's this? What? What? Hey, but you know what, man? I forgot who it was. Oh, it'll come to me in a moment. But there was this one musician. I want to say it was. I can't remember. Anyway, they were saying everybody. Everybody says they made you. They were talking about this. They were getting some kind of award or something like Rock and Roll Hall of Fame or something. Mm-hmm. But they were saying, everybody says that they made you and all that. But unless you have a song and a good performance of that song, you haven't done anything. You're not made and you won't have anything. And what he was alluding to that is how everybody wants to say that they're the real reason for your success. Not you, just them. They're the real reason. Never mind the fact that you wrote the song and you performed the song. But no, because they came up with the title for your album. They are the ones that are ultimately responsible for your success.
Right.
Well, so that's what you're trying to do, brother.
But you know, I was teasing, though, right?
Right.
Yeah, I was just teasing, dude. All right, man.
You're funny.
Oh. Hey, this has been so great, dude.
Oh, yeah, it's been good this way, too, brother. We have to do it again.
Yeah, we'll have to do it again. And I so thank you for your time. And, you know,
No problem.
We've been talking for over an hour, dude. That's amazing.
Wow. Is this your biggest, your longest?
You're probably my second longest interview I've taken.
How long did the first one beat me by?
Oh, what are you gonna talk to beat it?
I will talk to beat number one. I will artificially increase the length of this segment just so I can be number one. Never mind, I don't have anything else new to say, anything interesting. I'm not going to contribute to the narrative of anything or contribute even to society other than talking long enough so I can be number one. That's all that matters to me. I don't care about any meaningful dialogue whatsoever. All I care about is being number one. It's something that doesn't even matter.
Let's see. One, two, three, four. Yeah, one, dude. Yeah, one.
I've won? Have I won?
You won.
Wait till I post this on Facebook. So I can get my validation from likes. If I don't get over three likes, then I want to put, you know, fuck my life on my Facebook wall.
I know. I want to leave stuff. 5 to 10 myself, but
yeah, if I don't get at least 5 to 10 likes and my life is meaningless and my life has meaning thereby, my life has meaning if I get 5 to 10 likes. Yes, my life has meaning now.
There you go.
Woo! Can't wait to tell my grandchildren, you know, way back in 2016, I got 10 likes, children. Tell us about Facebook again, Grandpa.
They'd be liking me.
Yeah, they'd be liking me.
They'd be liking me.
Why are you talking about like a 70s black guy, Grandpa?
Oh, you're just. you're a cool person, and
I wish to thank Dion
Vincent
for his
be.
Time.
And,
what a fun talk we had.
To you, but,
it was so cool.
Yeah, well, you know, just, like I said, you know,
just
I
good peeps.
This is recorded.
Check him out.
I'll go in and tweak it a little.
Check
bit.
Check us at the
I'll let you listen
PA podcast.com.
Yeah, let me make sure. Make sure I'm number one.
Brian Tag Sonntag.
There is no other quest.
Enjoy. You had fun.
Yeah.
I got goals, my friend.
Thank you, bro.
It was good talking to you, too, man. Oh, take care, man. It's been so great. All righty.
Take care.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.